Today on Real Radio.
Jesus wasn't unknown to him. He was trying to put a face to the fame. You with me? Watch this. But could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. He's a little guy. He tried to see Jesus. It's actually kind of comical. This little Danny DeVito guy is trying to get in to see Jesus, and all he's getting is elbows. And plus, the people hate him. They despise him. So can you imagine? Oh, Zacchaeus, was that your foot?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse journey through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. The first 10 verses of chapter 19 contain a record of the fascinating account of Zacchaeus, the despised tax collector who happened to be short in stature. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs on how this man's life was changed in a presentation called Little Man, Big Sin, Bigger Faith.
What you have can be taken from taxes. Israel resented that. And because their taxes were being extracted to fuel the Roman machine as Rome occupied Israel, okay? Keeping that in mind, you've got this entourage, you've got a sycamore tree, you've got Jesus, you've got a whole lot of people trying to see him, and you've got a guy who, if I was casting this in a movie, I would hire Danny DeVito. And he can't see. He's rich. He's no doubt got a palatial home. He's got everything that you could possibly want. But listen, he's Jewish. We know this by his name because his name means innocent or not guilty. When he came out of his mama, she looked at him, and that's how the Hebrews are. They usually wait for a week or two, sometimes a month, to name their kid based upon their actions. Did you know that? It's kind of cool. You know, we name our kids before we even have a kid. When I have a baby, I'm going to name him Fred. Hey, that's great. But in Israel, they kind of study the kid, and then they say, you know what? We're going to name him innocent. Doesn't he look innocent? Can you imagine holding up this baby in a diaper with a cigar looking just like Danny DeVito, you know? We're going to name him innocent. That's what Zacchaeus means. No doubt he started out as a cute, cool little guy, but perhaps greed drove him to be a turncoat, we would say, against his own people. So here's point number one in our study this morning. Mark it down if you would. Point number one goes to verses 1 to 3, and it's this. Little man, big sin, big faith or bigger faith. How about this? Are you too short to see Jesus? I want you to jot that down. You say, I thought we're talking about Zacchaeus. Yeah, I know, but we're going to use Zacchaeus to talk about ourselves. Are you too short to see Jesus? You see, what does that mean? Well, in life, things go on regarding life that we can see things that are happening and write them off to other situations. We can look around at, for example, the global crisis and begin to panic thinking that God has fallen asleep and fell off his throne somewhere. That somehow he doesn't care. No, quite the contrary. God knows exactly what's going on. But you see, it depends on your stature. How tall are you? Can you see Jesus in your life? So the question is this, I'm going to want you to write it down. Are you too short to see Jesus? Now, by nature of this message, there's going to be an invitation for you to receive Christ today. You can't get away from it. Verse 1, we learn this. What if the Lord is creating or creates an opportunity? You might say today, I don't know if I know God, Pastor Jack. If I were to die today, I don't know if I would see God and it would be good with me. Well, then listen carefully. This is very encouraging for you. What if the Lord is creating in your life opportunities for you to get to know him? It says in verse 1 that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He's coming from the Galilee down to Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not go from donkey or next week on a bus or whenever we're going. You don't go from Galilee to Jerusalem down the eastern side of the Jordan River Valley. That's way out of the way. You would just drive direct. Why didn't Jesus just take his donkey direct? Because he had an appointment. Remember last week's appointment with the blind Bartimaeus? Today he's got an appointment with Zacchaeus. God will go out of his way to get to you an opportunity that you might be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not inviting you, if you're visiting today, I'm not inviting you to join this church or to embrace religion. That's the last thing you need. I want you to consider Christ, to consider Jesus. You can forget about everything else. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's Jesus that brought us here. And it's Jesus who cared enough in each and every one of our lives to use opportunities, we call them situations, sometimes dilemmas, to get us to see him. But the Bible says in Romans 11:34, for who has known the mind of the Lord? The Bible says that God's mind is beyond our mind, that God's ways are beyond our ways. When he creates opportunities, God is fully intending it to be an encounter with him. All the stuff that we're going through in life, God wants you to find him in it. Why do some things, listen, why do some things go from bad to worse? It's not that God's mean. It's not that God doesn't care. It's that sometimes, and all of us men know this, sometimes it takes a lot to get our arm to get bent to our backs before we give up. It's all about our will. And we fabricate these things about God. We accuse God of this or that. We get angry about Jesus and how come this? And if God is God, then why about that? And you Christians this? And how come that? Why is there war? And why do people? Oh my goodness, on and on it goes. Listen, if you read the Bible, the answer is there. It's very clear. Yes, we live in a dangerous world. God warned that the world would go this way if Adam and Eve rejected him. That death would come. God is the giver of life. But he creates opportunities. And so what if in our life he's creating opportunities. God encounters, I'd like to call them. They happen in our lives and they come in all kinds of packages. And if we're not careful, we'll misread them. I have met people who have come to know Jesus and whose lives have been dramatically changed by these events that I've written down by virtue of having met with people. The death of a child, a job promotion. In the theater of war, we're still getting reports, by the way, as the U.S. Marine Corps broadcast our services over the area of Iraq today. People come to Christ at kitchen tables and conversations. But no matter what the situation is, God, who loves you, is quietly, sometimes not so quietly, working to get your attention. He wants you to know him. Verse 2, we learn this. Are we sometimes thinking that we're too short to see Jesus? Well, what if the Lord knows everything? Zacchaeus is going to encounter Jesus. Little does Zacchaeus know that Jesus knows everything. This is God in human flesh walking by. How cool is that? Verse 2 says, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was the chief tax collector. I'll simply say this, he was hated. And I'll give you this verse. He was hated by the Jewish people, but listen to this. In Psalm 139:3 says, you discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways. You ought to jot that down. That's a great verse. That's a great verse to give to your kid when they're going to be taking the car out for the first time. Amen. Huh? Remember, son, the Lord is familiar with all your ways. You're coming in and you're going out. He knows that about us, everything. What you're thinking right now, what you thought a moment ago, what you're going to think in 10 minutes, where you've been, where you're going, he knows it all. You say, Jack, wait, if God knows, if I'm not a Christian today, and God knows where I've been and where I'm going, then why doesn't he step in, show his face through a cloud or something, and convince me that way, and then maybe I'll be a believer? Well, he can do anything he wants, but he's not going to do that. Probably not. The other thing is, well, if God knows all that, then why doesn't he keep me from doing all the bad stuff and all the silly stuff and so that I'll do all the good stuff? He's desiring to do that in your life on his terms. And this is where you and I begin to butt heads with God. He is God. And he knows what's best. Do you trust him enough to let him be God like that? He's good. Third consideration under this point, number one, point one is, are you too short to see Jesus? Well, what if the Lord sees you in the crowd? And you know, that's true. See, Jack, there's thousands of people here. How can he see me? Oh, he not only sees you, the Bible says that he knows the very numbers of hair that's on your head. He knows. And Zacchaeus, verse 3 says, sought. Can you circle the word sought, Bible students? Circle that word, sought. Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was. The word in Greek means that Jesus wasn't unknown to him. He was trying to put a face to the fame. You with me? Watch this. But could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. He's a little guy. He tried to see Jesus. It's actually kind of comical. This little Danny DeVito guy is trying to get in to see Jesus, and all he's getting is elbows. And plus, the people hate him. They despise him. So can you imagine? Oh, Zacchaeus, was that your foot? Oh, is that your hat? I'm sorry. Can you imagine? He's had enough of it. It's not that he's upset at anybody. It doesn't say. We don't know. This we know. That word sought, mark it down in your mind because it's going to appear again in verse 10. It's very unique. And I'm going to give it to you for free. I read 30 Bible scholars yesterday regarding this, and not one of them pointed this out. Not one of them caught it. So I'll save you some money right now in buying books. This word sought is the same word that's going to appear in verse 10. And it's absolutely remarkable. Here's what it means. It means to desire strongly after someone or something. It means to endeavor. It means you're not going to be stopped until you see it or see him or them. It means to go after them with all pursuit. I don't know if you and I have ever seen such a thing. With such determination, passion, I am not going to be deterred. Now, this is cool. Church, are you with me? Anybody? Zacchaeus is rich. He's a man of prominence, okay? He's a man of power. In that culture, people of that status, they do not run, and they do not, they never act in haste. Even if they wanted to, they're not supposed to. They're supposed to send a message in that culture that's still true today. You will never see a prominent, rich, or elderly man in the Middle East running. If they're running, you better run with them because there's probably something going to blow up. You don't do that. He is seeking to see Jesus. And listen, this next part I'm going to make up. It's not in the Bible, so I give you fair warning. My question is why? Why would he leave his palace? Why would he leave the safety of his home and come around all these people who can't stand him because Jesus is passing by? Why? Well, I can come to some possible conclusions as to why he wants to see Jesus so much. I'll give you two. Number one is this. In Matthew 11:19, the Bible says that Jesus was accused of, everyone listen, this is encouraging, Jesus was accused of being a friend of common people and tax collectors. Now, most of us are common people. Maybe you're here today, you're an IRS agent, tax collector. Jesus hung out. Common people and tax collectors, it said, gravitated towards Jesus. I find that encouraging. The second thought is this. Could Zacchaeus have heard about another tax collector? Because Jesus' ministry was famous. Good, bad, or ugly. People loved him. People didn't know and decide what to do, and then some hated him. So check this out. Zacchaeus either knows that, hey, I've heard about this guy. I want to see him because he's a friend of tax collectors and common people. Because I don't have anybody in my life except other tax collectors. They weren't allowed to hang out with anybody because nobody would hang out with him. He's Jewish, so he's an outcast among the Jewish people. So who's he going to hang out with? Other tax collectors. How exciting can that be? Secondly, could it be, he thinks in his mind, I remember hearing about a man who's one of his disciples. His name was Matthew Levi. Matthew Levi in Hebrew. Matthew was at a tax gate custom seat when Jesus passed by and said, "Come and follow me." And it says that Matthew, being the tax collector, left everything that was there and came and followed Christ. Could it be that Zacchaeus had remembered one of his followers of this wonderful man was also a tax collector? Could there be hope for me? I want to tell you that. Yeah, there's hope. You know what? Zacchaeus is getting taller every minute. He's getting taller every minute because you know what? He's starting to think straight. He's starting to think biblically. He's starting to think what we would say today is a Christian worldview. Did you know that none of us get to heaven, says Jesus in the Bible, but by faith in him? It's not by money. Well, Pastor, what do I do? You know, I kind of like this poor church. Where do I write a check? You know, you write your check to God. It's not going to affect your entrance into heaven. Well, you want to baptize me now so I'll go to heaven? That's not going to do it either. Well, how about giving me communion so I can go to heaven? Ain't going to happen. You can't get there from here. Not like that. You have got to be able to say and to wake up to and get tall as Zacchaeus to realize, you know what? I just want to see him. When you begin to appreciate who Christ is, then you begin to understand, you know what? He is Lord. Because in a little bit, you're going to hear him say, "Lord." And to understand that God, who in this messed up world, sent his son according to the prophets that he would come and love you all the way through to the end of this challenging, difficult life. And in the end, when you and I breathe our last breath, inherit eternal life. That is, it's given to us on the basis of what Jesus did. It's called the gospel. And so it may be that the crowd is all around, but you feel so alone and almost as though you're hiding in the crowd. And God says, "I see you." Zacchaeus sought to see Jesus, but in reality, Jesus was seeing him. And that's an excellent thing. Point number two, little man, big sin, bigger faith. Are you too bad? Do you think maybe you're too bad to be seen with Jesus? I shared with you guys years ago, some friends of ours, we were sharing the Lord in Newport Beach. We were witnessing to people, telling them about the love of God. And there was this big chopper gang. I don't know what they were, but there were a gang of guys there. And they had all their girls with them. And they were drinking and partying on. And Pastor Richard Cimino, you've known Richard. He's taught here before. He pastors up in Sacramento today. We were sharing the Lord. And we saw these big gnarly guys, big mean guys. And we just didn't say a word to each other, but we just kept walking by. And we went to the next group of unsuspecting victims. And it was great because we both turned and looked right at each other and said, "We're supposed to go back and talk to them." And I remember walking toward that chopper gang group, that biker group, and I remember praying, I'll never forget it, "Dear God, give me wisdom and give it to me quick. I don't know what to say." And I walked up and I said, "Excuse me, excuse me." And the whole gang went silent. I said, "I'm a Christian, but before you kill me, can I tell you something?" And they laughed like you're laughing. And I'm not going to say what some of them said. It wouldn't be appropriate. And the leader said, "Wait a minute, wait a minute. Let the guy speak. He had enough guts to come up here. Talk." So I gave them the gospel. And he said, "You know what? That's fantastic news if it was true." That's too good to be true. He said, "No, by the time I'm 30, I'm going to kill myself. There's no life after death." And he had his theology. Lost in the crowd, lonely, afraid, I don't know, but listen to this. Do you think you're too bad to be saved? Because one of the things he said was, God would not have me in his heaven, because if he would have me in his heaven, it wouldn't be heaven. And I want to tell you something right now. I love you even though I don't even know who you are necessarily. But I'm going to tell you something right now. In Christ, I love you. And I got to tell you something. You think you're a bad sinner? You think you're too bad to make it to heaven? Let me tell you something. Don't be so impressed with yourself. You're not so great a sinner. But Pastor Jack, I have raped, murdered, and pillaged. You know what? Do you think that you have sinned so big, so great, so bad, that you're beyond the grace of God? Do you think when Jesus died on the cross that the blood he shed covered the sins of the entire world except your hideous, horrendous sin? Oh, don't fool yourself. Look, I am happy that you see yourself that way, but listen, don't stay that way for long, because God's love for you is to take that, and this is what he loves. Just like taking a piece of junk car out in the middle of the desert. He gets it out of the desert, gets it into a shop, fills it in, fixes it up, puts new wheels on it, gets it all ready to go, and presents it as a brand new, beautiful, like it rolled off the showroom floor, 1932, whatever. If man can restore something that's lost and neglected and rejected, why not your creator? Zacchaeus had it all, but he wasn't happy. He wasn't fulfilled. So look at verses 4 and 5. Are you too bad to be seen with Jesus? I want to argue with you, because listen, why would the Lord want to lift you up if that were so? Lift you up. Yeah, look at verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, you come down.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Little Man, Big Sin, Bigger Faith. It's a look at the fascinating account of the despised tax collector Zacchaeus, as recorded in Luke's New Testament account, chapter 19. Part of our teacher's verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder of what we're currently offering here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack's DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Now, it's quite obvious we live in a sexually charged atmosphere in our planet's history. Sexual immorality in its various forms is defended, praised, even celebrated. But what about today's churches? Well, there seems to be quite a resemblance to the original church at Corinth. In fact, here's Pastor Jack Hibbs to tell us more about this DVD series. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And you know, what we're talking about in this little mini-series entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners is the fact that political correctness is nothing new. Well, we learn in this series that at the church at Corinth, they were allowing, that is the church leadership and the body of Christ at Corinth, they were allowing sexual immorality to be conducted among their members. They didn't rebuke it, they didn't deal with it, and they spun it, Mike, as tolerance, that they were a gracious church, that they were a loving church, that they were a very tolerant church. And what they had really fallen into, Paul points it out vividly, was, in a sense, political correctness. And in our little mini-series, Paul addresses how a church leadership should deal with this and how a church itself should keep itself from sexual immorality. And so for all these reasons and more, we want to make available to you what we're studying right here at church, and that is the book of Corinthians and this three-part series of Saints, Sex, and Sinners. How should leadership deal with sexual immorality among the saints? What does the Bible say regarding church discipline? And how should all of us walk in the fear of the Lord when it comes to how to conduct ourselves in the house of God? And so I encourage all of you to get a copy of this series, and I think it will strengthen your walk. It will certainly generate conversation. And Mike, you can tell the people how they can obtain their own copy.
I will indeed. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.